Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is Andrew Jakob, CEO of Raytheon Solar. Hello.
Hi, Aaron.
How are you, Andy? Can I call you Andy?
Yeah, Andy's great.
Anytime you put the word solar on something, to me it means money. You know, money comes your way, right?
Right.
Because we're tired of the old ways of warming and heating and air conditioning and that.
Yeah.
First of all, did you always want to be an entrepreneur?
I got the idea in college. Mm-hmm. You know, I was inspired by a lot of things going on in the early 2000s around renewable energy. Mm-hmm. They were claiming, a lot of the large institutions were claiming that renewable energy would be the next great revolution, would be bigger than the internet. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me into it at first.
Mine was plastics.
Yeah.
Get into plastics. So what was your first job, paying job?
First paying job was selling knives.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I just graduated high school.
Kitchen knives or?
Yeah. Like kitchen knives, door to door. Yeah. They were actually really good knives. They were probably some of the best knives I've seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying that because I sold them, but you would basically call your network of people and you would take this wonderful knife set and try to sell it to them.
Is it the traditional one where you see the box and everything?
Yeah.
There's 12 knives to it.
Right, yeah, like a big 24.
And how long did it take to sell one of those kits?
You would just meet with the people, and then it'd be like a 30-minute kind of little pitch.
Right.
Yeah, you would cut.
Because everybody wants to
take a piece of leather, and you'd cut the leather.
Right.
And then the knife just cuts through it like butter, and then they're pretty much sold.
Because everybody wants to see what you see on TV when they cut the tomato like this.
Yeah, right.
It just happens.
Right.
It's never happened to me. So next time you're selling knives, come by my house. So that was your first paying job. What was the worst job you ever had?
I can't really say that I've had a bad job.
Really, that's good.
Yeah.
And you came up with this in college or after college?
With Raytheon Solar? Yeah. I came up with it after college. Mm-hmm. I'd already been working. I was working at UCLA in the Particle Beam Physics Laboratory. But I was also an entrepreneur at the time doing solar installation.
Right. And what sparked you? Did you drive by some, we were talking earlier, I think solar power, there's got to be a cosmetic change somewhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's historically been kind of clunky and big. And
I mean, I understand basic. The value of it, but.
Right. Well, I think that we're on the cusp of kind of a new age, a new revolution. And it happened 100 years ago when we switched from coal-based energy to oil-based energy in the early 1900s. And I think we're seeing it again, switching from oil-based energy to solar-based.
And who are your customers?
So we're a manufacturer. We would OEM it to an installer like Vivint or SolarCity.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it could be residential or commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
So they come to you.
Right. We manufacture in bulk and just one large bulk sale.
I'm curious, what does it take, what are the parameters of getting solar heat or air conditioning?
Solar power. For a house?
Yeah.
Like your house.
Yeah, why would you do it? I know why, but I mean, what are the...
Right. Well, we've hit the point where the cost has come down enough so that you're paying less for your solar than you are for grid energy, right? And you're also renewable. You know where the energy is coming from, right? When you pay the energy company, do you know how they made the energy? You don't. But with solar, you can see it. It's on your roof. And there's a lot of cost related to infrastructure, right? Like when you have a big power plant somewhere and you get the energy through a power line, first of all, it costs $1 million per mile to build a high voltage power line. So,
right. A mile?
So with distributed solar, you eliminate that cost. And so essentially all the infrastructure related, right, is not part of your cost for energy anymore if you have distributed solar.
And can you custom make them to, like, let's say you have a home and you don't want it to look like it has solar power, but can you custom do that?
Yeah, it can be. And the technology is now being created for that. With the increased demand for solar, it's becoming something that is demanded.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Superman.
Well, let's see. I like the Superman people that come in here.
Really?
Most people say Iron Man or Batman.
Right.
Do you have family?
Yeah.
How do you balance work and life? First of all, how many hours do you work a day?
Yeah. It depends. It really depends on the day.
Unlimited. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you balance your life with that?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And it's something that, you know, if I'm mentoring an entrepreneur or something, I really want to bring that up with them. Because for me, it was hard. Two years ago, I just got into like mindful meditation and it really helped with balancing work and life. One of the biggest tricks that I do is I have all my work stuff on a desktop at the office, right? That way I don't need to be you know, doing it. If I have a laptop, you know, I'll take it with you. And you'll work wherever you are,
right?
But if it's at one central location where you have to physically go in, you can remove yourself from work when you need to.
That's a good idea. Yeah. And mindfulness is the latest thing too. I mean, that's not this that late, you know, not so latest, but it's a lot of entrepreneurs are doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So how big is this business right now? Not just Raytheon Solar, but how big is this business?
The solar industry?
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the market caps, right, it's still small. It's about an order of magnitude smaller than a very mature industry, right? Like if you look at media, right? Media is a couple $100 billion a year market cap, right? Same with like semiconductors, like Intel and companies like that, right? Solar is in the tens of billions, right? So it's still pretty small. It's an order, you know, 10 times smaller than mainstream, but it's growing rapidly. It is growing the fastest industry right now.
Now, a couple of stupid questions. Do you have to be around sun all the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to be in the sunlight to get the energy, right? But that doesn't mean that you need to always have sun where you're using the energy. You can store it. But one of the things that they're doing is grid tied. So if you have a grid-tied solar system, that means you get a credit for the extra energy you make during the day, and you can use that at night.
Well, tell me how it works.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you need 10 kilowatt hours to run your home, right? You build a system.
Is that enough?
Well, I'm saying that's the energy you use. That's what you use to power all your stuff in your home, right? So you build a solar system that makes 20 kilowatt hours, right? So that 10 kilowatt hours that you need at night, you are making it during the day and it runs your meter backwards, right? So that's how the credits work. And then you're essentially using those credits at night.
And it keeps track of it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the future? I mean, it's almost kind of new, right? So the future is...
Well, we've hit the point where it's now cost competitive. Solar is cost competitive with conventional energy. Right, we just hit that. And so you're going to start seeing large mainstream companies investing into solar. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be everywhere.
Now, if you're a company that has, you know, traditional power, when you try to switch over to solar, is the cost prohibitive?
There's ways to get around it now.
But is it?
Mm-hmm. If you buy it outright, it could be, right? A lot of people don't have that upfront money, right?
But I mean, what I'm saying is in the long term, you then save, right?
Oh, yeah.
But people ever think long term?
Right. Nobody wants to pay for 5 years worth of energy today.
Right.
Right. But if you look at the cost of energy, the rising costs and everything, you'll save a lot of money over 20 years.
How many people
15
work?
Years of free energy.
15?
Yeah.
How many people work for you?
We have 8 employees right now, full time.
And how do you hire them? What do they have to know?
Well, it depends. Like we have a couple business development people, but mostly our engineers have a material science or a physics-based background, a PhD.
Right. Yeah. And so they're not really salesmen.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They're people that explain it to you.
Mm.
Right. Well, I want to get into this a little more. You're watching Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Andrew Jakob is our guest. He's from Raytheon Solar. And I'm thinking that it's easy to get money anytime you put the word solar in there. I'm not saying you did that.
Right.
But I mean, it's solar to me says the future.
Right. It has appeal, you know, in terms of environmentally friendly, but also low cost energy. That's the new component is low cost.
So how come a lot of big factories don't do it?
Well, they do. They do in China. And
how come a lot of big ones here don't do it?
Historically,
how do you make that turn?
Historically, it was cost prohibitive. So the cost of solar has dropped dramatically over the past 7 years only, right? So now is the time when it's happening because of that cost drop, right? And so whenever you build an infrastructure, it'll take 10 years to see it on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 years from now is when that will be happening.
Is it cost effective though for and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, cost effective for a company to invest all that money when they seem to, I don't know, is it? They seem to be getting along okay now.
It is. If you look at the energy rates, they rise at 7% a year, right? So if you lock in your solar rates now, you pay for the solar now, that's 7% a year you're saving.
Mm-hmm. So you can buy solar now and just store it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you pay for the cost of the panels, and the panels last 20 years.
What's the future of this? I mean, smaller, we talked about this before, but smaller, more compatible with the neighborhoods.
I think the future is just much higher volume of distribution. Mm-hmm. So you'll be seeing it in every house. Right now you see it on one house on the block, right?
If that.
Right. Right, every other block or so.
By the way, everybody knows that house.
And that just, right, and that just, right. That's a very recent thing. It happened in the past 5 years. So we're going to start seeing new homes with solar in them. And actually in California, one third of the new homes that are built have to have solar.
I want to talk about that. Andrew Jakob is our guest. He's the CEO of Raytheon Solar. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Back in a minute.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
A new poll says more Americans approve of President Trump than they do the big media. That's why millions are tuning in to Newsmax TV, America's new conservative channel. On Newsmax TV, see Bill O'Reilly, Pat Buchanan, Alan Dershowitz, Mike Reagan, and more. Bill O'Reilly's No Spin News Show is on Newsmax TV. Get it on DirecTV Channel 349, Xfinity 1115, Dish 216, UVerse 1220, Fios 615, and Spectrum. Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
This is sponsored by...
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Our guest is Andrew Jakob. He's the CEO of Raytheon Solar, and that's the whole future. Is it possible now to inject the solar system into a newly built house? In other words, why build a house and change in 2 years, right?
Right. So when you build the house, right, you would just build the solar into it, mm-hmm. and then the sale price of the house, that solar cost would be factored into the house, mm-hmm. making it much easier for people to adopt it.
So when you say build the solar into it, what does that mean?
Well, there's a couple different ways you could do it, right? One way is when you build the roof, you just put the racking system and you put the solar panels on the roof on a brand new home. Another way is with solar shingles, right? So you build the roofing material is made out of the solar panels themselves.
And that's the equipment you have, right?
We don't have a product yet. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we've changed the cells that could be put into any kind of solar shingle or module.
And do they all have to look like those shingles?
No. Yeah. You can. What you put the solar cell into is up to, you know, there's design, right? Mm-hmm. It's up to design. Oh, it's open to design, right? Okay. And what we've done is we've changed the cost of what's in that, right? So the cost of the silicon is the key component into the price of the solar panel, right? It's the most expensive part. It's what converts the sunlight to the electricity. Right, so what we've developed is a system to manufacture this silicon for solar, and could be put into any module that uses 100 times less silicon.
Is there a certain part of the country that uses more solar energy than others?
Well, there's places where it's more optimal, mm-hmm. right? But we know that financially it works in places like upstate New York. Mm-hmm. We know that Germany is the largest installer of solar. They have the most installed solar in the world out of any country, and they are in the worst place for solar.
Right. But I mean, cold states, they could mm-hmm. do it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Places like Denver, Colorado actually have a lot more sunlight available because they're higher up.
Right.
There's less air.
Mile high city.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, the Southwest has the highest solar irradiation, right? But it still works in Maine, still works in New York.
I would think that with the word solar on it, raising funds was not difficult.
It was.
It's actually kind of a stupid question because it always is.
Right.
What about it was difficult?
The conventional investment climate was not very keen on solar over the past couple of years. A lot of them put a hard stop on it, mm-hmm. but we were able to find very passionate angel investors that still believe in it. The believe in our mission and our technology.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between a regular power? Give me some numbers I can work with, like a three-bedroom home. Mm-hmm. It has regular heat and air conditioning. Put solar on, how much money do you save?
Let's say the bill is $200 a month, mm-hmm. right? And I was running a program, my previous company, we were able to knock off 30% of that. So you'd save $60 a month, right? That was the model that kind of inspired me to start Raytheon Solar, is that we want to be able to install solar and you pay for it and it's 30% less than what your average energy bill is.
And so you can make that up in how long?
If you finance...
The installation cost. Mm-hmm.
It's about 3 to 5 years, mm-hmm. right? And so there's two different methods, right? Is one is paying up front, and then in 3 to 5 years you have free solar.
Right, so it pays for itself in 3 to 5 years.
Right, but the more conventional way, and companies like SolarCity are running lease programs, right? So, and this is what I was doing at my previous company, was we would lease the system, no upfront cost to the homeowner, right?
It seems like I'm getting more and more solar ads in my mail lately.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
It's growing. It's a really, really aggressive industry. And it's been taking off over the past couple of years. With the prices coming down in the cost, the equipment cost, mm-hmm. which means that the distribution is growing.
Right. So where does Raytheon Solar, I mean, what's going to be after solar?
Well we need that, storage. Right? So battery storage is happening at the same time as solar. Solar prices are coming down. And this is why I like solar over something like wind, because or hydro. It's right. a renewable energy, but it follows Moore's law. So Moore's law, was in the semiconductor industry, meaning every doubling capacity, the price gets cut in half, and that would happen every 18 months. And so we're seeing that happen in solar, and Raytheon's technology is one of the things pushing Moore's law.
What happened to those windmills? I used to own a couple of those.
Wind technology.
I'll tell you what, they're big off Massachusetts. They mm-hmm. put a lot around mm-hmm. Nantucket and everything.
Yeah, it is big, but it's not distributed, right? Mm-hmm. So with wind, you still have to have a large utility scale wind farm, right? What's nice about solar is that it's small and it can be scaled at any size. Mm-hmm. So you can go from residential, you can go from powering something like your cell phone all the way up to powering tens of thousands of homes in an installation.
So the people that work for you, how do you hire them again? I mean, what's their number one skill they have to have?
PhD in material science or physics, semiconductor processing, or particle physics.
Why do they have to have that?
That's our
main. I'm sure some of them have to have
it, right? So we're developing this technology, and to develop it, we're doing a lot of new things. So it really helps to have a background in research and development.
This is Business Rockstars. We are not solar powered yet, but we will be soon. I'm Pat O'Brien. Andrew Jakob, the CEO of Raytheon Solar, is our guest. The people that work for you, more salesmen or technical people?
Right now, because we're in the late stages of prototyping and research and development, it's technology backgrounds.
And how often do you come up with something new?
Every day.
Really?
Yeah. We come up with, we're rapidly prototyping cell architecture. I have a patent attorney coming to our office tomorrow. So we're constantly changing the architecture of the cell to create what is the lowest cost, most effective solar cell.
And again, I know this is a repeat, but why don't companies do this more? Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's still such a new...
It's environmentally right. It's
right.
cheaper. Mm-hmm. Does it cost a lot of money to put it up, or do you have to... What's it?
Well, I think that we're seeing the climate change, right? 5 years ago, the cost of a solar panel was $3 a watt, mm-hmm. right? Now you can get it for around 50 cents a watt, right? So it's 1/6 the cost as it was five
can
years ago.
Can you run factories on this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I call it stuff. but you can... But so what are the possibilities that new factories, mm-hmm. as we get bigger and bigger... go to all solar.
They can
What's
be.
What's stopping them?
The capital cost right now. And you have to build it. If you're building a brand new factory, you should absolutely incorporate solar because your energy costs will essentially be decreasing by 7% a year. That's because of the rising energy costs on the grid.
Right. What's a bad day for you? When something goes wrong or...
A bad day.
I mean, what can go wrong in your business?
specifically with what we're doing,
we've had way, say nothing we, in my business.
Right. But. Yeah. You know, we're rapidly prototyping. So we deal with manufacturing issues, right? Mm-hmm. So we have wafers where we implant in our process, we do an implant process, right? And so if you don't manage the heat properly, the wafer will just shatter.
Right.
So that is an example of, I guess,
well, you sold me on it. I didn't know anything about solar power. That's why I asked so many stupid questions.
No.
But we
no,
all got
no
our
questions.
Answers.
Is a stupid question.
I know that. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Andrew Yaka, the CEO of Raytheon Solar. I'm Pat O'Brien. Back in a minute.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Our guest today is Tony Gaucher, CEO and founder of Spritz. Good to have you here, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell me, I mean, I just used it, so I know what it is, but what is Spritz?
So Spritz is the first all-natural 2-in-1 breath and hand freshener. It's one of the best products out there for your breath and your hands.
All right, because I mean, I'm over here, I was using the Listerine strips, and you're right. Like, no.
There's a lot of things going on in there. You know, like
so,
I said,
Spritz just so is you know. I'm going to be carrying that with me,
cool.
And I'm going to be doing it from now on here.
Cool.
Thanks to you, brother.
Thank you so much.
So how did you come up with this product? You were actually on Shark Tank too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I came up with the product one day. I was out having a cigarette, and I was a little embarrassed. Yeah. I didn't want to go back to this party. It smelled like smoke.
Yeah.
So I had a piece of gum in my mouth, and I spit it in my hands, and that's when I had this aha moment. And mm-hmm. I said, what if there was a product that can take away the smell of smoke from both your breath and your hands? Okay. Boom! Called a friend of mine who's a chemist. It. 2 days later, we came up with Spritz.
2 days later?
2 days later.
Well, most people are like, oh, that took us 2 years, come up with a business plan, raise money.
You there was a lot of different iterations, but two days later, we had our first prototype, and it didn't look too good. It was green, but it tasted awesome.
Well, how long did it take you to actually get it out in the marketplace from conception of the idea, right? The gum, and then all the way to actually being in the market?
So that took about 2 years. That actually did. We started 2 years ago. That was 2013. It was October 26, 2013. I remember the day like it was yesterday.
I bet you do.
Yeah. And now we're finally there. The final formula, it's awesome. The taste is great. It's powerful. And it took about 2 years. Well, 20 different iterations of the formula.
20 different iterations. That's pretty common, though.
Yeah,
I mean, especially with a product like that, you're not going to just nail it on the first try. You got to taste it, try it. I get it. Tell me about Shark Tank.
Oh, man.
What was that experience like?
Shark Tank was awesome.
Were you scared when those doors opened up? Is it just like it is on the
show? Just like on TV, you just don't hear the music, you know?
Okay.
But it was awesome. I'm a religious watcher of that show. I watch it religiously.
Yeah.
And just to be on the show was just an amazing experience. We auditioned in San Francisco, California.
Okay. We wait out in the parking lot, and you go into the room, and you pitch test.
No. It was different.
It wasn't like that?
No, it was different.
Because I tried it one time, and that was what it was like here in California.
It was an open space. It was at the NASDAQ Center in San Francisco, so there's a lot of techie people. And I was a little nervous because everyone's techie startup, and here I am with this breath freshener, you know? And I didn't have a pitch prepared.
So you went and didn't have a pitch prepared?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. I just said, you know what? We're going to do it. I threw up both of my hands. The guy picked me. I did a practice pitch. Next thing you know, boom, we made it to backstage or the back room.
I mean, your product's so easy to get.
Yeah.
It's just like you either get it or you don't.
You don't. But a lot of people laughed. And some people were like, whoa, you spray it in your mouth and your hands?
Yeah.
But when they saw it and they heard the target market, they're like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, we made it to Los Angeles for the show, Shark Tank, and I'm not trying to be cliche, but it was really a dream come true.
You
know,
I bet.
It was an awesome experience.
To take your idea
yep.
and get it on a Shark Tank
That's
and
right.
get that national exposure.
Yeah.
Did you guys have the product? It was up, it was running, it was ready. So how much did that national exposure actually impact you guys? Did you
okay.
see sales spike?
Yes, we did. So the Shark Tank effect is real.
Okay. the Shark Tank effect, it's like the Oprah effect.
It's like the Oprah effect. You know, it's awesome, it's real. There was a 487% spike in our sales from when we went on the show.
That's not bad.
Until this was about May.
So is that like, how long is, so you got on the show.
Yeah, the show aired January 8th.
And then the spike happened how quick?
We started selling January 25th because we wanted a grace period before we sell just to see what, if we can make sure okay. we can fulfill those orders because we were
yeah.
nervous.
Yeah.
Once we started selling, I mean, sales were just coming in every single day. My phone's ringing, email is blowing
how
up.
How long until it started to dip off?
It recently just started to dip and then it picked right back up because we started doing okay. more promotions. And then they did a repeat episode, so that yeah. was pretty cool. But it took a while before it dipped. It just didn't go up and then just drop right back down. So
did you not get a deal on the show?
If you didn't see the show, you got to watch it. I can't okay. tell you.
You're not even going to tell me.
I can't tell you. You got to watch it.
I dig it. All right, well, at least you got that spike though.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
It was awesome.
So what happened after the show? Sales started to go down. Now reality hits and you're like, okay, I've got a real business here that I
yes.
need to actually work on.
Yeah.
So how'd you guys get distribution? How'd you start selling it?
So sales didn't dramatically just drop. What happened is they kind of plateaued just a little bit. Yeah, they slowed down just a little bit, but they didn't just dip like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But
because your product, you're gonna use it and you gotta buy it again.
Yes. So. Yes. It lasts a long time. So that was one thing that we had to work on, like, you know, how long will it take for our repeat customers to come
back? What's the cycle look like?
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe a month after, distributors okay. started calling, stores started calling, because we're selling online to the straight to the customer.
Okay.
But now distributors are calling.
Where do you have more sales, online
more
or distributors?
More sales are online. We're just now working with our distributors. We're still in negotiations, so I can't name them at this moment. Okay. But fingers crossed that everything's going to go the way it's planned.
It's an exciting time.
Oh, super exciting, super exciting. I mean, deals with Thailand, deals with Singapore, deals with the Caribbean, Atlanta, Texas.
Everybody's got to have
awesome.
Fresh breath.
Hey, come right. on. Come on. It's the way of the future. This is welcome to the future of fresh. You know?
I love it.
So we're working with those companies right now, and things are really picking up because now I'm boosting more. I'm putting more money into the marketing, social media marketing, you know, our online presence. We're doing interviews with awesome companies like Business Rockstars.
Yeah.
I mean, so the dip is now getting
back up. And I
want
to be using it all the time. So.
Come on. Yeah. And word of mouth. Word of mouth.
That's
I tell people all the time. Word of mouth.
Yeah. And every guest that comes in here, they're going to be seeing me use it. And they're going to.
I'm going to leave you a couple so you just pass them out.
There we go. I love that.
Yeah.
What did you do before this? I'm always curious to know, were you always an entrepreneur? Were you somebody who had all these freaking jobs that you hated and finally you were like, I cannot have a boss or a job. I need to do this on my own.
You read my mind. So both. I've always been an entrepreneur since I was a little kid. You know, I remember back in high school, I used to sell these ghetto pops, we used to call them. They were Jolly Rancher sticks wrapped around a plastic fork with different flavors, and we'd sell them to high school students for like a dollar. I've been in the music industry. I've been an actor. I've always just had this knack to do something and be my own boss. Mm. But I know that responsibility kicks in. I have to have a job. So I've always had a job. Do I like the 9-to-5? Yes and no.
You got the cash flow and then you got the side hustle.
There you go. Yeah, but I don't like to call sprints my side hustle.
Yeah.
I never like to call businesses I start my side hustle. They're my dream. Mm. You know, my job is more or less the side
hustle. I
got you.
I like that.
I started a clothing company, you know, Lake Mirror, California.
Okay.
There was many things that I've done, but Spritz is the one thing that really has taken me to that next level, that next plateau, and I'm sticking with it. But I've always been an entrepreneur at heart.
And well, I see the one commonality that you have that everybody who comes through these doors have is passion. Founder and CEO of Spritz, Tony Gaucher, is our guest right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Again, Tony Gaucher is joining us right now. So let's talk about partnerships real quick.
Okay.
Do you have some great partners?
Right now, so we started with the Spritz. When you saw us on Shark Tank, there were two other business partners.
Okay.
Now they're acting as advisors, and I do have other partners right now. Actually, I take that back. Not partners that own the company. I 100% own the company, but I have advisors that work with Spritz.
Okay.
So I'm still looking for people because I can't run this company by myself. It takes a team to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, but I have great resources, a great network of friends, people that I've met along the way. But I'm always still open to hearing, you know, ideas of partnership because I can't do it by myself.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think one of those things, it doesn't have to do with partnerships yet,
But I think one of the best things that you can do is start building your personal brand. For me, any venture that I get into is a direct reflection of the personal brand I've established first.
Yeah.
Everything comes back to the personal brand and everything funnels back out into my companies and my other brands.
Yeah.
So I just would love nothing more than to see you skyrocket, and we'll swap brother, and I'll help you out in that space.
Definitely.
All right, so we talked about partnerships and things like that. What are you guys doing for company culture though? Because I know you guys are small and I know you're starting
up. Still small.
But one thing that we talk about here all the time is company culture and how important it is to start your business, whether it's systems or whether it's culture or anything like that, starting with the end in mind. And that doesn't mean waiting for your business to be where we've got 20 employees or 100 to put the systems in place to create the company culture. Start with great company culture and the end in mind. So, I mean, even if it's just you right now, Hasan, you said you got some advisors.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing to keep it fun and to stay passionate?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I mean, you were already saying some things like just keeping the mind sharp, which is something like, that's an environment that you condition every day.
Yeah, so I'm real big on, you know, the motivating my team. You know, I have an intern, I motivate him.
I want everyone
to just, not just have fun, but just believe. The culture with Spritz is just believe. Believe. Where we are today is not where we're going to be at tomorrow. Just believe. And also work your butt off.
Yeah. In the beginning, you got to work.
You have to wear every single hat.
Yeah.
If this was McDonald's, I'm on the fryer, I'm on the burgers, I'm at the cash register, I'm the janitor, wear every hat. So the culture is fun. I mean, with the people I am working with and partnering up with right now, it's fun. But there's a level of seriousness when it comes to belief. I'm a firm believer in belief. You have to believe in what you're doing. If you're working with me and you don't believe in this product, we don't need to work together.
Yeah.
We just don't, you know? But if you work with me and you believe in the product and I believe in you, we're golden. We're golden. I'm an open door, my email, my phone, everything. If you have any questions, any problems, we could talk about it. I can be wrong a lot of times and I'll bring that up. But it's just believe. You gotta believe.
So belief is obviously a value of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times, unfortunately, people get conditioned through their environments.
Yep.
Those environments can be their parents, their friends, other family members, school, the news, social media, outside influences.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, most of us have our values unconsciously conditioned within us. We haven't sat down and said, I'm going to choose to value contribution and gratitude and integrity and growth because those are going to serve me in these ways. We just typically have them unconditionally serving us.
That's true.
And you meet a lot of people and you can tell because they're unhealthy, they're broke, they're stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell a lot of the times what their values are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you've consciously chosen to have some values that have been serving you. Can you share what some of your internal values are that are serving you?
One is belief.
Yeah,
because
having
I grew
a strong
up,
belief.
Well, see, I grew up, I didn't know I was poor when I grew up. I grew up poor. I grew up, like what you said, I had these different constraints all my life that said that I couldn't make it. My mother would always tell me I could, but the environment I grew up in, living in East Oakland, living in West Oakland, that environment told me, you're going to go to jail.
That's right,
you're going to die by the age of 25. I may be light-skinned, but I'm a young black man. But you know, the odds were against me.
Yeah.
You know, I read books like The Code of the Extraordinary Mind that talks about breaking these rules. They're BS rules that you grow up with.
Yeah.
I was told that I wasn't going to make it from my city or my the peers that I grew up with. I had to break that. So I just know that I was born for a reason. I was put on this earth for a reason. And my belief is out of this world.
Yeah,
you know, it's just... I just know I'm going to make it. I just know I have to make it. I believe in myself. I believe, you know, my name isn't Tony Victor for any reason. I'm the victorious one. I'm supposed to do something with my life.
Yeah.
Even though my city or my environment said no, people will tell you all the time, you're a product of your environment. That doesn't have to be true.
Yeah.
You can change it. So, you know, that's a, it's hard to get too emotional and passionate about it, but that's just a tough question because, you know, my life changed, you know, and I'm a firm believer in just what I believe in. Positivity, hardworking, and just believing in yourself. I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to be somebody. That's why I'm sitting here with you today.
This is exactly right here. Pop, 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 pop. This is what I'm saying. We got to get you on YouTube, brother.
Hey, we need to talk.
That's right.
We need to talk.
Tony Gaucher, brother, I appreciate you for coming on the show, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
I'm going to be repping this stuff all the time from now on, right?
You can keep those.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Have a good one.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Here's Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
It's like slipping on a pair of prescription glasses for the first time, as everything becomes super crisp and clear. That's what going from 4K to 8K is all about, with Samsung's new TVs. And behind it all is something called quantum dot technology. Scott Cohen from Samsung explains.
So, you know, when we're talking about QLED with Samsung, we are talking about a technology called quantum dot. And the reason Samsung has made these advancements in quantum dot and applied them to our TV has to do with color accuracy and color brightness. So when we think of a Samsung QLED, first and foremost, that's Samsung's flagship line of TVs. That's the best TVs we make. It's based on quantum dot because using the technology of quantum dot, we can get the full color spectrum accurate in any brightness condition.
More info is at Samsung.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
Hey, have you ever thought...
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
Returns and exchanges. How does it affect a small business? I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. My guest today is Nate Holzapfel. You're the co-founder of Mission Bell Co., brother. It's good to have you here again.
Here I am again.
I love having you on here, brother. You're full of wisdom and advice. So let's dive in. Returns and exchanges. How does it affect small business?
Well, it can be a huge deficit to your business if you aren't careful. Inevitably, there will always be returns. And you can't be naive. You got to realize that 3% of all products are going to break. They're just going to break. You make a million of something.
Even if they're belts?
Even if they're belts.
Even if they're belts.
Make a million of something. I think it's safe to say that, you know, 30,000 of them, they're gonna break. That's real. It's a real number.
That's real talk.
Yeah, it's real talk. 30,000 is a lot. And you have to put a system in place that's going to allow you to not only deal with it, but you've actually got to figure out how to keep the money in the business and take it and turn it into a return rather, or an exchange rather than a return.
Okay.
Returns end up costing you more money. Exchanges cost you money, but returns cost you all the money.
So give us a contextual example of an artful, strategic, elegant way you guys have turned a return into an exchange.
Okay, we do this thousands of times, okay, you know, a month, right?
Yeah.
So, Here's what you gotta realize right off the bat. First of all, when a customer has an issue, don't try to dive in and fix it. This is a key mistake of peewee little league guys. They just try to get in there. Well, hold on, they get defensive. Well, you sure you're at the right size? Did you get the wrong size? Or is it just, what's the problem? Stop back, step back, and acknowledge. Just say, oh, I'm so sorry that you had a problem.
So sales 101, align with the person.
Yeah, just align with the person. Just say, look, I'm sorry for the screw up. And just pause. Let them say, well, thanks. Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So let me make some notes here. What's going on? And then they'll say, well, I got this product and it's bluer than I thought it should be, or it's this or it's that or whatever. Mm. Great. Okay. What would you like to see happen? And then let them tell you, because you might not have to talk them into doing an exchange if they're already open to doing that.
Okay, so some people would end up putting the noose around their own neck.
Yeah, they jump in there and be like, well, no, hold on, like, we can change, we can get better, totally, yeah. Man, don't take us off the air. No, just relax, Garth, you know? Okay. And so what you say is, you give people an opportunity that way, and sometimes they'll say, you know, I just want to get a return, get my money back. Great, that's not a problem. Let me ask you this. If I could find you something that was less blue, would that work for you? I don't know. Great. And then you have to have this in place. You have to capacitate your people with this ahead of time because they can't make decisions. The people on the phone are not really super decision makers.
So the training's key.
Offer them something. Say, look, you know, if we get this for you, whatever, you know what? What if we gave you 25% off this? Or what if we gave you a free product? Or what if we gave you this? Or what if we did that? Or what if we gave you 6 more months of customer support? Whatever it is, whatever the product may be. Incentivize them with something. You want to keep that money in the kitty. Because I'll be really honest with you, if you do a return, the money's never coming back.
Because if you know your margins, right, if the belt costs $100,
sure,
your hard costs are $15, you're better off mailing them another belt than giving them the $100.
Even to a point where one time we had a customer who bought a belt and they ended up, I think about 2 or 3 belts, and they ended up shipping off somewhere, some embassy somewhere, and they ended up having a problem with their belts, but not until they were there. I think they just changed their mind or whatever it was, or they were the wrong size. They thought they were 32 waist.
Yeah.
They were like a 34 or whatever. No big deal, right? The customer was wrong in this particular case, okay?
Yeah.
But what we did is we went ahead and fixed it up for them, whatever, and we sent them new products, whatever. We actually ended up losing money on that deal. But that guy left us such an amazing review and said, you guys are amazing. I will buy more belts from you, whatever.
And that's key, because sometimes that review could incentivize future buyers.
Well, just, I mean, here's the thing is the guy will probably buy more products. Why? Because we went over the top. Yeah. Now, what the analytical brain wants to do, though, is say, well, look, no, they want to handle it case by case by case. Look at it as a whole thing. Say, look, I'm going to sell 100,000 freaking belts this month or whatever it is. And I just realized that I'm going to lose money on, you know,
33% or whatever it was.
I'm going to lose money on 300 of them, 400 of them. Okay. So what? Fix it, make the customer experience. Because you're not selling a product, you're selling a business.
Yeah.
Customer service, right? So fix it. Fix it at all costs. Just make it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep the money in the thing. There are some situations where a customer right at the bat is going to be so angry and so upset. And in those cases, just do an automatic refund real quick, whatever. They call up and they're
one of those customers.
And there's like, I can't lose, whatever. Say, hey, look, I'm sorry for the mistake. We're going to go ahead and refund you right now.
Yeah.
Because at this point here, you're not trying to hold on to revenue. You're trying to avoid a bad thing online. You're
trying to mitigate any negative reviews.
Yeah,
right?
Negative reviews.
Okay.
Negative reviews. And frankly, you don't want them going out and telling all their friends.
Yeah.
By just quickly refunding their money, getting them all their money back right off the bat, you're going to deal with that a lot quicker.
Returns and exchanges is what we're talking about right now. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Nate Holdsoffel is my guest right now. He's the co-founder of Mission Belt Co. Brother, let's dive in a little bit more here. Maybe what's one of the craziest things somebody in your company has asked or come to you when they wanted a return or exchange?
I had a guy once who told us that the belts that he had bought, they had worn out his shorts, and he had a bunch of shorts, and he wanted to let me know specifically that each pair of these shorts cost nearly $50 each, which I guess is a lot of money for shorts.
It's a relative scale,
right? Seems quite reasonable. I mean, that's what Pacific Sunwear charges, and I think it's kind of going rate for a pair of cool shorts these days. But he was very, very specific about it and told me that he had to get all of his shorts dry cleaned and everything. So he ended up wanting us to handle his dry cleaning bill, and he wanted to keep the belts.
Wow.
So they might have ruined his shorts, but
he wanted
not
to keep
so
them.
Bad not that he couldn't keep enough. His thing, whatever. So we ended up getting ourselves in a little spot here. We say, okay, well, what have we got here? What's going on? So we handled the dry cleaning for the guy, did his thing, and said, hey, thank you very much. Hope everything's great and awesome. He says, no, I want you to do the dry cleaning.
What do you mean I want you to do the dry cleaning?
He mailed the shorts to us to do the dry cleaning. We literally took them out and had them dry cleaned ourselves.
You couldn't just pay him for it?
He didn't want that. He
didn't
wanted us to handle it.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a bizarre situation.
I can imagine how this bothered you.
So we handled it. We handled it. It was an expensive transaction. And some people would say, well, Nate, that was really stupid to do that. Well, maybe. Maybe not.
I think it was good.
Yeah, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you got to realize in today's day and age that the way you're going to take care of your customers is by taking care of your customers. It is not enough just to ask for the money. The world is too small of a place online. All it takes is a horrible tweet and you got a problem.
Yeah. Well, it's the ups and the downs of returns and exchange.
It is.
But Nate is in the big leagues of business. I love the way you run it, brother. Thanks for coming on and sharing that with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.